We don't quite have a quorum, but we're going to get started. So if you would like to come up and give your name for the record and start, and at some point, hopefully within the next few minutes, I'll interrupt you so we can actually officially start.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here to meet with you. My name is Tracy Hatch. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. I'm here to present to you our 2012 bonding requests, or rather our capital budget requests. I say that because not all of them are bonding requests, and I'll explain that as we go. We currently have 9 requests before you. They are a total of $74.1 million. That includes $40.5 million of GO bonds, $16.1 million of trunk highway cash, and $17.5 million worth of projects from the trunk highway fund. I misstated that. It's $16.1 million in trunk highway bonds and $17.5 million in trunk highway cash requests. The first project I'd like to discuss with you is our Rochester Maintenance Facility project. This is actually the second phase of a two-phase project that we're coming to request funding for. The first phase of this project was funded in 2010 with $26.43 million worth of trunk highway bonds. That first phase involves site preparation, the construction of a maintenance facility, an unheated storage facility, a salt brine building, brine manufacturing and storage, a fueling station, and a covered bin storage at the Rochester headquarters site. The second phase of the project is the phase that we're coming to request trunk highway bonds from you this year, and that is to complete the project by remodeling the existing headquarters to provide some office space, some conference space, and the movement relocation of the materials lab that's currently in the building. One of the big issues with the building as it is currently, the actual headquarters building, is that the materials lab, which is very loud and very odorous, is actually located just adjacent to the office space. So it's kind of not a very good conducive work environment for the office space. And so we would like to remodel the current maintenance shop to into office space for program delivery, and expand the materials lab and separate it from the office spaces. The second request we have before you is the Wilmer Maintenance Facility. This is a $7.5 million request for trunk highway cash. The next 4 requests are requesting cash from the trunk highway fund to fund these capital projects rather than bonds. The reason for that is at the time that we had to make the final determination on whether to request bonds or cash, we had sufficient cash in the trunk highway fund to cover these projects and still maintain compliance with our policies. In addition, as you'll notice, these requests are of smaller dollar amounts. They're still big dollars. $7.5 million is still a significant amount of money, but compared to the request for Rochester, for example, in totality, in each of these individual requests are a much smaller amount. And so we thought it was a better use of bond funds to fund a larger project. Bonds were used on the maintenance facility for Rochester previously, and so we decided to maintain consistency there. But for these smaller dollar amounts, we decided it was probably fiscally prudent to not pay debt service on these over 20 years, but to just fund them with cash if we had the funds. So for this request, again, it's $7.5 million from the Trunk Highway Fund. A correction to what was initially submitted was, instead of it being a 32,200 square foot addition to the existing district headquarters building, it's actually going to be a 35,000 square foot addition. The reason for that is, in the initial plan that we had put together, the initial design was that we would build up in the facility, taking advantage of some of the mezzanine space. And as it turns out, that's not going to work. We're going to need to build out to accommodate that space rather than building up. So this project will allow us to add an additional vehicle storage, a new truck wash bay, enlarge and improve our inventory area and our radio shop, and provide for a new training room at the facility. We will also be able to make many needed ADA upgrades to the facility in terms of laboratory space, and we will be able to update the fire sprinkler system to the current code, and remodel former vehicle storage area into a sign shop and also expanded inventory space. We did receive $320,000 in 2010 for schematic design and construction documents for this project.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, on the Wilmer facility, you say radio shop. Is that a central shop then for the whole state? Is that what we're talking about here? And is it repair or is it just for the installation of radios?
Go ahead.
Good question. Mr. Chair, Representative, it is actually for the Wilmer area. It is the radio shop that maintains the radio equipment and services the radio equipment for the Wilmer area, and I believe they do both some of the radio equipment for the patrol as well as for our maintenance crews. The radios now are those 800 megahertz radios, and so they are statewide in nature in that they can be received statewide, but this would be to do servicing and maintenance on the radios for the staff that are out in the Wilmer area.
Okay, Mr. Representative Carl. The reason I was raising the question, with all the remodeling on these different facilities, that was the only one that referenced the radio shop, so I didn't know if that meant central or I'm not sure why. The others must have the facility already then. Is that correct?
Ms. Hatch, could you tell me why the Beards Committee sent this here?
Mr. Chair, I don't know. I wasn't aware that they had forwarded it to this committee. I'm not sure if there's somebody else.
Or are we just hearing it from you? If these aren't capital investment dollars, why are we hearing them?
They are capital investment dollars. They're just not bonding dollars. It is a capital request. It's just not for bond funds.
But you said these were cash.
They are cash, so we're not requesting bond funds for them, but they are all capital projects.
Okay, but have these been heard? Okay, never mind. Just continue.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe we've been requested to present to the Transportation Committee in the House at this point.
Okay.
I just received a request that you were interested in this information, so I'm not sure if it was forwarded to you from another source. I guess I don't know.
Go ahead.
So moving on then, the next request that we have is for the Plymouth Truck Station. Again, this is a $5.6 million request for cash from the Trunk Highway Fund. This is approximately a 30,000 square foot truck station facility that will contain vehicle storage, offices, crew facilities, inventory center, and a truck wash bay. This building is very outdated. It was built in the 1960s. And so in addition, this would bring the building up to code regarding building code and environmental regulations. In 2010, we did receive an appropriation of about $380,000 to put towards design fees for this project. The next project is our Cambridge Truck Station project. Again, this is a $3.3 million request from the Trunk Highway Fund. It would be a new truck station and vehicle maintenance facility on a 7.8-acre site near a Cambridge Industrial Park. It would allow us efficient access to both U.S. Highway 65 and Minnesota Highway 95. It's a 12,000-square-foot truck station. Would contain a maintenance shop, offices, vehicle support, inventory space, storage spaces, and mechanic work bays. And when I mention office spaces in these facilities, primarily that's for like the maintenance superintendent and maintenance supervisors, that type of thing. It would also require some additional site improvements, and if we can fund any of those within the existing, within the requested amount, we would certainly do that, including a salt storage shelter, a brine production building, and an unheated storage building. And then we would be disposing of the current facility per normal practice and regulation.
Yeah, Ms. Hatch, we have a quorum, so we'll start the committee. Representative Carlson is going to move the minutes. Representative
Mr.
Carlson,
Chair.
Did you notice the amendment you have to make to the amendments to the minutes?
No, I did not. I'll have to have some guidance from the chair. I'm in attendance.
Representative Carlson, Representative Kriesel is not on the list either present or absent. And he was present, so if you would care to...
I'll move the amendment to add into the...
Any discussion, Representative Kriesel?
No, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point that out.
All those in favor of amending the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. That motion carries now. Representative Carlson, would you like to
move the minutes as amended for February 22nd.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? We pass the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I just noticed the need for another amendment, but I think the clerk can take care of it. We didn't meet on February 22nd, 2011.
Representative Carlson,
I think the clerk can take care of that.
I think she can. She sent me to a hotel in downtown St. Paul last week to talk to some people, and the hotel said, well, that's next month. So we're getting better.
Mr. Chairman, at least you were early.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next project and the final project for trunk highway funding is for design fees for three additional projects we'd like to pursue actual construction dollars for in the 2016 session. That is a $1.1 million request, again, from the Trunk Highway Fund. So these are cash capital projects to create warm storage additions at three sites on our Crookston headquarters building, our Eden Prairie truck station, and our Mendota truck station. And again, these would be $300,000 or $400,000 design fee portions for the preliminary work on those projects. We expect to come back in future sessions, 2014 or 2016, requesting funding in approximately $3.5 million for the Crookston headquarters warm storage addition, $3.6 million for the Eden Prairie truck station addition, and $4.2 million for the Mendota truck station warm storage addition. And this, by the way, is typically how we do these types of projects, these larger projects. We would come and get the design fee underway and then move on to request actual construction dollars. So that concludes the trunk highway portion of the request. The following requests are all for GO bonds. The first request is for local bridge replacement bonds. We're requesting $25 million of GO bonds. When we originally put the request together, the bonding package last spring, we had about 960 deficient local bridges that were on our list. And that list is formed by receiving resolutions from local units of government that they will provide the matching dollars and that this is a high priority for their local area before it gets on the list. I believe that list is somewhere now up around 1,026 bridges. And so as part of this $25 million, we expect to leverage about $50 million in other funds. The federal funds that would be contributed to that are funds that we already received via the federal formula but would put towards this project that passed through to the locals. We expect to replace approximately 80 local bridges with this $25 million at an average replacement cost of about $310,000. That number can change dramatically if we have a large bridge included in the project, and I think for right now those large bridges are covered, and we're just looking to do these smaller $300,000 to $350,000 type projects. Wanted to give you a little bit more background on the local bridge projects and how the program operates. The state bridge replacement funds are used basically in two ways. The first way is to leverage or supplement other types of bridge replacement funding. So again, that could be state aid funding, federal aid funding, or township bridge funds. The federal aid funds provide up to 80% of the bridge funding for eligible projects, with the local governments responsible for providing the match. If the project is significant, if it's a large project, even the 20% match can be formidable for local agencies, and therefore this program could provide the full amount of the match funds as well. On the state aid system, these funds are used to share in the cost of bridge replacement. Many times that split would be a 50-50 split, with the local unit of government picking up the other half. And on the township system, these funds are only used when a county has depleted its town bridge account, and in that case, these funds could be used to fund 100% of that local bridge. So that's kind of the first way, supplementing additional resources, that we would use these funds. The second way that these funds are used is to provide funds for bridges that have no other source of federal or state aid funds. Bridges on the county road and city street system are not eligible for state aid or township bridge funds. And also bridges, if they're less than 20 feet long, are also not eligible for federal aid. Again, local units of government share in the project by assuming all costs for design and construction engineering, right-of-way, bridge removal, and items not directly attributable to the bridge, such as the approach grading and roadway surfacing costs. We also always look for alternatives to replacing the bridge. So that might be abandoning the road, building a road in lieu of a bridge, or consolidating routes to eliminate a bridge. Just to give you a little background as well to refresh your memory on recent appropriations to this funding to this project, in 2011 we received $33 million. and we expect to fund 100 bridges with that. That is, the planning is well underway for that. Those bridges have been selected, and the planning is in process. In 2010, we received $66 million for this program, and we funded 131 projects, average-size projects, and three additional big projects. Those three big projects were located in Fergus Falls, in Hennepin County, and in the city of Minneapolis. And in 2008, we received $50 million, and we funded 132 bridges with that appropriation. The next project I'd like to talk about is the Greater Minnesota Transit Account. Here we are requesting $10 million in GO bonds to construct three projects. Actually, this is to complete the package of funding that would be necessary to complete these three projects. The first project is a multimodal transportation terminal in Duluth. The second project is to remodel the former MnDOT district office, which we sold recently to the city of Mankato. So we'd like to help them to remodel that to part of that building to become a maintenance and storage facility for the transit capital in the city of Mankato. And the third project is to construct an operations center and additional vehicle storage in the city of St. Cloud.
Excuse me, Ms. Hatch.
Yes.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the Mankato facility, where are you maintaining and storing the buses now, if it's not at this facility any longer?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, if I might confer with someone just briefly on that answer. Mr. Chair, Senator, thank you for obliging me there. This city apparently has their own facility located elsewhere, and now that the city's offices are going to be moving to this location, as I mentioned, the city did purchase our building, our old building that we moved to a new facility last year, and so they would be relocating to this facility.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'm just picking up on your choice of words, but you said you would like to help the city of Mankato. Was that part of a contractual agreement when they purchased the building? And if that's the case, I guess I would understand that then if it was part of the sale. But the other question would be, other communities, do they also get help from the department, or do they do that pretty much on their own?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't believe it was part of the actual contractual obligation. I believe that these projects are prioritized, and all cities have the opportunity to come forward and be put on the list, and there's criteria that we follow. The funding parties are to purchase vehicle capital for the transit program, to construct or provide facilities to support the maintenance, the vehicle and the vehicle program, so storage of the vehicles. And then the third funding priority is auxiliary procurements such as maintenance, training, or administrative offices. And so these just happen to be the three projects that are ready to go and are a high priority for funding at this time, but it's not an exclusive list.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just interested in the equity issue. It sounds like they help other communities as well. That's what I was mainly trying to find out. Thank you.
Continue.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So again, this would provide funding for those three projects, and if you have any other questions on those three projects in particular, we'd be happy to provide a little bit more detail for you. The next project I'd like to talk to you about is, before I go on to that, can I just mention to you the last three appropriations we received to support the Greater Minnesota Transit Program. In 2011, we received $2.5 million. In 2008, we received $1 million. And in 2006, we received $2 million to support that program. So again, then moving on to the Highway Railroad Grade Crossing Warning Devices Replacement Program. This is also a program that we sort of call the Antiquated Equipment Bonding Program. And the real purpose of this funds is to replace current active warning devices at active crossing sites. So we have a couple other programs, and I'll mention those here in just a minute, but that's primarily the purpose for these GO bonds. And so we're requesting $2.5 million of GO bonds for this program. We expect that to replace approximately 10 signals. We have 1,300 grade crossing signals in the state, most of which are not on the trunk highway system and therefore not eligible for trunk highway funds. The signals have a 20-year lifespan, and so to be on a replacement cycle, it would require us to replace approximately 70 of these a year in order to maintain on that cycle. As I mentioned, we also have two other types of programs that we do kind of similar work for. The Grade Crossing Safety Account is funded with $1 million each year from fines and surcharges. Most of them are state patrol fines. That program is a little bit more maintenance than capital in nature, and we fund small projects such as modest upgrades, sight lines, vegetation removal, signage, very low cost, more kind of maintenance than capital to maintain those sites. We also receive about $5 million a year in federal funding, and what we do with the federal funds, which is quite different than what we do with the bond funds we're requesting, is that we use the federal funds to upgrade from a passive crossing to an active crossing, particularly in these rural communities. And so one of the challenges is always, where's the greatest need? And I guess we would say there's significant need in all three of these program areas. And so it's been important to us that we maintain some sort of funding for each of those three program types. If we were to redirect those federal funds to replace the antiquated equipment, it would leave those grade crossings in much of these rural communities that are passive currently. It would prevent us from being able to do those safety enhancements and upgrading those to active warning device crossings. And finally, the last project I'd like to talk with you about is our request for $3 million of GO bonds to support our Port Development Assistance Program. This program supports infrastructure needs on Minnesota's public ports, on the Great Lakes and Inland River navigation systems. It's a partnership program to improve freight handling efficiency on Minnesota's commercial waterway systems. Typically, this program would fund 80% of state grants to these local entities and require them to contribute a 20% local match. There are five public port authorities in the state. They are located in Red Wing, St. Paul, Duluth, Winona, and Minneapolis. The purpose of the Port Development Assistance Program is threefold. One is to expedite the movement of commodities and passengers on the commercial navigation system. Two is to enhance the commercial vessel construction and repair industry in Minnesota. And three is to promote economic development in and around ports and harbors in the state. When these projects are proposed from the local port authority, there is sort of a committee approach, and they work together along with our staff to prioritize which projects have the most significant impact, which are the highest priority, and they are prioritized also based on need, the employment generated, and the overall economic benefit of the improvement to that local port. Some examples of projects that we may have that are on the list to be completed are sheet piling at Little River Bulkhead, rehabbing of dock walls, rehabbing of a Port Authority building, stormwater management, and commercial dock site improvements, just to give you a sense of kind of what that's used for.
Ms. Hatch, could you tell me where local roads fit into what you just presented?
Mr. Chair, absolutely. We also have another program called the Local Road Program, and that is sort of the companion program to the Local Bridge Program. Our local bridge program that we're requesting funding for here is a longer-term program. It's if we had to choose between funding for the local bridge or the local road program, we feel that the local bridge program is very well established and has a long history of being able to quickly turn around these projects and get them out the door. Of course, there are a lot of needs on the local road system, so we certainly know that and are sensitive to that, and we would be able to use any funds that were made available to us that you deemed appropriate. We would spend them appropriately.
Wouldn't you need local roads to get to the local bridge? Thought.
Mr. Chair, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then also, can you give me some sense of how it works with the greater metropolitan area, Rochester, and, you know, the big cities, and how we fare in rural Minnesota, even though some of our roads are gravel? A lot of gravel, and some of them we actually like to keep them that way. But how do we fare? We have a lot of traffic during the honey season, during the summer. You know, you folks come up and enjoy northern Minnesota or southern Minnesota. Can you tell us how we fare with money for local roads up north or south?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to have to defer that question to my colleague, Rick Jonas, from the State Aid Division.
Representative Hausman, did you want to add to that, or did you want to wait for an answer to this part?
Well, I just thought it was important, Mr. Chair, to understand that actually we already have formulas for local roads, and that money flows to local roads through the CASA formula and the municipal state aid. So, I mean, there actually are revenue streams that fund them. If we've ever put them in for geo-bonding, it just means we did it over and above what was already there. And I know some have felt that every transportation need is huge, and the question is, do we sort out one and say we're going to give it even more than the formula dictates?
Representative Hausman, sometimes when you ask a question, you ask it, you already know the answer, but I want to hear it again. So identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Richard Jonas. I'm Deputy State Aid Engineer with MnDOT. Part of the premise behind the local road improvement program is that in addition to the formula money that is going to the counties and cities out of the highway user tax distribution fund, there are those budget buster projects that come along periodically that communities experience and they have difficulty in funding. And so there was an effort made to put a program in place to address that need. And last legegislative session, I believe $10 million was set aside for this program. The law provides that there is a advisory committee to serve as an advisor to MnDOT on how to distribute that money. And they firmed up the economic development regional significance definitions for us for this particular solicitation. And further reconfirmed, as we have in the past, that what is regionally significant to a county might be different than what's regionally significant in a large city or a small city under 5,000 or to a township. But in their own minds, they all have regional significant project potentially. And so the $10 million was broken up into four categories, and we kept the competition between townships, just between townships, for a sub-targeted amount of the $2 million. And those projects were just announced last week.
One other question, nobody wants to ask it, but how are we, what are we spending and how are we doing on the Sable Bridge?
I just attended a meeting, Mr. Chair, with the bridge office and Federal Highway, and although that wasn't a main part of the agenda, there was discussion that both agencies are monitoring the activities of Hennepin County and the City of Minneapolis. They've got people on site. They've made some stabilizing efforts to the bridge. They have not made any long-term decisions yet. The immediate concern is safety today, and preventing further deterioration of the bridge. They want to stabilize everything and then take some time to evaluate. So MnDOT is involved. We're very concerned about the highway traffic underneath the bridge, and the road won't be open until we can assure the public of that.
Is the road closed again?
Is the road open?
I thought it was open.
Okay, then that's news to me.
Mr. Chair, I believe there's no traffic on the bridge.
No, not on the bridge.
Right.
I meant underneath
the bridge.
They have it shored up, don't they?
Okay.
Representative Hausman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Surely the engineering firm or construction firm or somebody bears the responsibility financially for that. Is there a design issue?
Yeah, Mr. Jonas?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's been decided that there's a design problem with the bridge or not yet, what the exact cause is. I think that's what people are talking about.
But we would, Mr. Chair, we would push that issue of who's responsible for such an early failure.
We are assisting the City of Minneapolis and Hennepin County in addressing that concern, yes.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions. When was that bridge built and at what cost?
Mr. Jonas.
Mr. Chair, I don't have that information with me.
I understand. You weren't prepared to answer that question. Back to Ms. Hatch on slide, it looks like slide 6, on the design fees for Crookston headquarters, Eden Prairie truck station, and Mendota truck station. Those are new facilities, I'm gathering, new locations. There presently aren't truck stations in those three cities. Is that correct?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe they are warm storage additions to the current facility. So there are facilities located there currently.
Oh, okay.
Representative Scott.
All right. That answers my question. Thank you.
Representative Rukavina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe, you know, I'm getting off the subject here, which I occasionally do. But, and maybe this question is probably for the commissioner more than anything else, but, you know, I have unique situations in northern Minnesota, and, you know, currently United Taconite is going to dig up United States Highway 53. The DOT has known about it for probably at least 16 years, but now we're in a rush to do something because they have told the state that they're going to punch through in 2017. But we get the federal government involved and they come up with the most ridiculous suggestions, like a covered bridge with huge ventilation fans on either side. So at what point does the DOT just tell the Federal Highway Administration, go to hell, we're not doing it? Have you ever done that?
Ms. Hatch, do you want to answer that question?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, I would just like to say that I'd be happy to take your comments back, and I'm not prepared to answer that question.
Let me tell you, you know, we had 8 designs by the Department of Transportation that they had to go through because the federal government said they had to have 8 designs. Now, 6 of them were totally absurd, and DOT knew this, but they said they had to do it. So then they came up with the final 2, which they promised me they would do before Christmas, but then a little nut got thrown in the gear, I guess, and the Federal Highway Administration wanted a no-build option, meaning the state of Minnesota buys about $400 million worth of iron ore royalties and shuts down another mine in Minnesota, or, you know, what's the other option? That would be it. Why do you folks even humor them at that point? Can't you just tell them we're not doing it? Or do we lose federal money because of it? And can we get the money to cover the bridge and put huge ventilation fans on either end is what I want to know. I mean,
Ms. Hatch, will you deliver that message also?
I would be happy to.
Thank you. I'm getting nervous that I know that some members would love to go to the Boundary Waters and they won't be able to get there from here if we don't do something very soon.
We'd have to talk to Representative Dill. He could probably fly us there.
Yes.
Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question has to do with the Trunk Highway Fund. That's where the sales tax or the tax on gas accumulates. Is that correct?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, it is a transfer from the HUTD fund, primarily funds the Trunk Highway Fund, and one of the 3 sources to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund is fuel taxes, as well as registration taxes and motor vehicle sales tax.
Okay.
And then those actually fund the Trunk Highway Fund, the County Stated Highway Fund, and the Municipal Stated Streets Fund.
Okay. My first question, I think, which you don't have to answer, but with the price of gas and so forth, I'm just wondering if we're going to see a drop in the amount of tax collected because people will more than likely need to cut back some on their usage. So that's just a comment. This $17.5 million that I've calculated from the Trunk Highway Fund, does that have any negative impact on highways at all, on construction, or is that how does that work?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, it should not have any negative effect. It is over and above the current appropriation, and so it's primarily made up of cancellations from appropriations that we did not use in previous years. So at the close of the last fiscal year, and if you'll recall, the Department of Transportation received carry forward authority from 2009 into 2010 and 11, and so at the end of the biennium, we had a little bit of funds remaining, partly because of that and also because of cleanup efforts due to SWIFT and canceling encumbrances and things like that. We ended up with an improvement to the Trunk Highway Fund balance and were able to comfortably cover that $17.5 million.
Chair.
Representative Rocavino.
Representative Norris, that's a good question. Do you keep data that shows if gas goes up 50 cents a gallon or a dollar a gallon, what it drops on purchasing, or if it does at all? And Representative Hansen brought up, you know, unemployment too, and how that affects. What kind of statistics do you have on that?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't have specific statistics with me, but I can tell you that in 2008, for example, when we had very high gas prices that hit kind of really for the first time at those record levels, we saw a significant decrease in the revenue coming in via the gas tax. I can't predict. I would assume that something similar would happen if we had another spike. We do see VMT slowly improving, slowly coming back, but again, we're not anywhere near where we were back in 2008, for example.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Just a quick question. There was an article in the Tribune the other day about some of the larger trucking companies. I think Anderson Windows was an example, using natural gas. And what kind of revenue, if any, is generated off of natural gas when they're using it in those big trucks?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, to be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure. I know the all of the petroleum gases go into the HUTD via the gas excise tax. I'm not sure about the non-petroleum-based fuels. I would have to go back to my staff who monitor that and clarify that. Would you like me to?
I think they measure it by the pound or something when it goes in. I don't know if it's covered or not. That was a follow-up to the other question about gas consumption.
We'll have them bring that information. Representative Hansen?
I had a question on a different subject, if that's okay.
Oh, that was
not on this point, but a different point.
Well, go ahead and.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my understanding that the volume of recycled asphalt available is increasing, and that MnDOT specs over the last few decades have reduced the amount of recycled asphalt that's used in road construction, and for whatever reasons on wear and tear using the percentage of recycled asphalt. My question is, in parking lots and areas like in these facilities, if we have stockpiles of recycled asphalt, if the specs for the concentration of recycled asphalt are greater or less than the roads, or if you have the ability to vary from those so that we could use up some of that supply rather than sending it to the landfills.
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'm actually not familiar with that, but I would be happy to take that question back and get an answer for you if you'd like me to come back with it. I do know that for all of our buildings projects, we make a very concerted effort to do what is kind of the most sustainable sources of energy. We do geothermal. We do a lot of the building materials are renewable materials and things like that. And so I'm sure that is on the radar for folks. But if you'd like a more specific answer, that's just not my area, but I'd be happy to follow up on a question for that.
Thank you very much. Wait a minute. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hatch, I just left another meeting with some DOT officials because, as some of you know, I have a bill that would raise the speed limit to 60 miles an hour. But
65.
Rukavina's mad at me because it only goes to 60. He'd like it at 80 or 90, I think he said. But anyway, you talked about the price of gas and so forth and how it relates to some other items. Just off subject, just a hair, do you have some sort of comparison about how speeds increase or decrease around the state and fluctuates with the price of gas? You know, the price of gas is a great moderator, I'll say, in how some people choose to drive.
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'm sure there are studies out there where folks have looked at that specifically. I don't have any data, and I'm not certain that our department has any data on that in terms of the fuel rates that we receive and the number of gallons purchased compared to average speeds. But if that's a question that you might have, I'd be happy to look into get some resources.
Representative Fabian, I would think that the State Patrol or Department of Public Safety would know how many more tickets they give out when the price of gas is higher or lower. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.